You're listening to Sheep Might Fly, a weekly podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. This is the last installment of Julia Agrippina's Secret Family Bestiary. So we'll be starting a new serial next week, and I will be continuing with the Love and Roman Punk stories later in the year. Julia Agrippina's Secret Family Bestiary, Part 6, Werewolves. It is a hard thing to be married to a werewolf. Their bodies are unnaturally strong, and they thrive on rough play. They require far more sex than a normal husband, and they leave bruises. The first Julia learned this when she was married to Agrippa, but it was her blessing that she had a fierce sexual appetite and matched him body for body. It is no wonder that rumours of her adulterous behaviour did not begin until long after he was dead. The wolf kept her well satisfied, and her later husbands did not. The werewolf strain did not breed true through our family line. There is something odd about the combination with Lamia, I think, which kept it at bay. Julia's children, including my mother Agrippina, were strong and stocky, as I've mentioned, and had something of the wolf's raw power about them, but they were not subject to the moon or shape-shifting, as Agrippa had been. My mother had to depilate more often than most women. She required two extra body slaves to deal with this matter alone. But I am almost certain she never bayed at the moon. I and my sisters owed nothing to the wolf. I was sure of that. We were strong and powerful and beautiful. We drew swords and bows faster than any man, ran faster, swam harder. But that was because we were Julias and destined for greatness. It was not Agrippa's blood that made us special. It was our own. My elder brothers may have had a little wolf in them. I am sure that is why Tiberius disliked them so much, just as the lack of wolf in Caligula's blood made him the favourite. I'd half forgotten this side to my family, so busy was I keeping an eye on the Lamia among us, until my first husband was chosen for me. Domitius was a distant cousin, and it became clear quite quickly that he was of Agrippa's ilk. Sadly, he had never trained as a soldier and had none of my grandfather Agrippa's restraint. He was quick to anger and would take it out on me in the bedroom. Like the first Julia, I was a hot-blooded woman, but it was not my husband who taught me my passions. With him, I would grit my teeth and wait for it to be over. It was worse near the full moon, when he would fly into rages, pin me to walls, and hurl my favourite furniture until I had nothing precious left to me. I learned to manage him. Such is a wife's duty, and it is not difficult if she is intelligent and resourceful. I found slave girls for him to burn his anger out on before he even reached my bed. I arranged for him to play gladiatorial games with other senators, and sometimes amused myself by laying successful bets on the outcome of the matches. I bought slaves for myself as well, lovely maidens with talented fingers and tongues, glistening oiled athletes, whom I allowed to penetrate me on the days I could not fall pregnant. All my training and battle readiness in the service of my brother allowed me to defend myself against my husband. And once I started wearing my gilded blades around the house, he stopped trying to throw me into walls. Perhaps, you think, knowing all this, I should have had more sympathy for my son's wife, Octavia, when he began to beat her. I did not. By that time, I was a different woman. I was not the powerful young Julia Agrippina, who had two sisters at her side and the world at her feet. I was a marble statue, a woman with nothing left to lose, but but the love of her son. Oh, Nero loved me. I made sure of that. He had no respect for Octavia, lesser breed of woman that she was. I was the august lady who appeared on my son's coins and sat at his side in the triumphs. When Nero named old dead Claudius as a god, it was I who wore the robes of priestess and built temples in my former husband's honour. Octavia faded into my shadow, invisible and useless. She was not even clever enough to bear a child, the one thing I could not do for my son. Meanwhile, I knew well how to handle a man who followed the moon. I provided earthy, unmarriageable mistresses to serve my son's appetites and ensured he had plenty of space to run and fight and howl 1 week out of every month. I curbed his more ridiculous expenses and kept the Senate happy enough with his imperial decisions. Poppaea, though. Poppaea slipped by me, wretched minx. While I was distracted by the demands of government, my son started fucking a wench I had not approved. Her influence was hardly noteworthy at first, but my son's other mistresses began to fall away or die of mysterious complaints. I was busy scanning the horizon for the type of magical creature who attack our family when we least expect it, and meanwhile, Nero's new human girlfriend was slumming it with everyday poisons. Ugh, crude, but effective. I first noticed Poppaea's influence when she had Octavia shipped off to Pandateria, the Isle of Manticores. Nero had passed the order through Senate while I was in a meeting with foreign dignitaries, and I was horrified to hear of it after the fact. Octavia was of no real value to me, but the people still believed theirs had been a love match. This would harm my son's popularity. Besides, of all the islands he could choose, why that one? Deliberate cruelty on his part? To mimic the death of my mother? More likely it was Poppaea who sought to wound me, indirectly, with a manticore's sting. I tried to save Octavia. But for once my son's ears were closed to me, and I lost the argument. In fury, I withdrew my support for his government, leaving him to stumble through the bureaucracy without my advice and hard work, and he lashed out in kind, accusing me of all manner of crimes. My son is a half-rate emperor, but when he bites, he takes the whole hand. I retired to the country, bowing out with as much grace as I could muster. Let him see how hard it is to rule the empire without his mother cleaning up all his mistakes. The first assassin I blamed on Poppaea, but they came with startling regularity after that, armed with knives and swords and bludgeoning weapons. One delivered a bed designed to collapse on me, which was easy enough to evade, but I have lost 3 slaves to poison tasting over the summer, and it is getting harder to convince myself that it is all her, that the wench who stole my son is solely responsible for the men who try to take my life. Am I so much of a threat to him? Does he really believe that I would harm him? Everything I have done was for him, for his power base, his safety, his future. I nursed a werewolf at my breast and let him thrive. Now I have set him loose upon the world. This is my legacy, the son who sits in Rome, and the scrolls I have filled with my words over the last several months. This, then, is the history of our family, of Caesars and Julias, monsters and murderers. I want to go back and ink over the ugly parts, leaving only the lines that express how beautiful we were, how mighty and strong and loving. There are days when I want to burn every word. My long, cold war with my son has come to an end. He writes that he has forgiven me my transgressions and that he hopes I will forgive him likewise. He writes that Poppaea is gone, that he should never have chosen the lying bitch over his beloved, loyal mother. He writes that blood is the most important bond we shall ever have. I want to believe that it is true. But it is a full moon tonight. And can I really believe that he has chosen this day, this week, this month to act with civility? Nero has sent a ship. It floats in the bay, waiting for me. A splendid vessel, decorated in gold and pearls. The deck strewn with flowers and garlands. My son begs me to sail to Rome to greet him publicly and show the citizens that our enmity is over. We can begin again. What choice have I but to forgive and accept forgiveness? I am a Julia, and we were born to serve and protect the emperors of Rome. I am the last of my breed. Tomorrow I will stand upon the prow of that boat and bid the sailors take me to my son. If this is my fate, I will follow it. If this is a gift, I will accept it with love and gratitude. If this is a trap, let it be sprung. If my son has betrayed me and the ship fails, then I am a Julia. I can swim and I am strong. I will make for the shore. Thank you so much for listening. That was the last episode of the Julia Agrippina's Secret Family Bestiary serial. And we'll be dipping back to more stories from the Love and Roma Punk collection later this year. Brand new serial next week. Look forward to that. You can follow me on Twitter or Tumblr as Sheep Might Fly for updates and commentary. And I'll see you next week for a slightly more cheerful fiction serial. Good night.